Yo, he's ready. This is Mike Lamas and this Californication 2020 podcast. I'm your host, co-host, one of the hosts, D22 Sosa Wayne Chung. Subscribe to LiveOnBike.com if you like reality TV poker. But we're here for Californication season one, episode five,
man. One more and we'll be halfway through the season. So it's almost over. You know, the first season of the podcast, your guy's suffering will, pause until...
No, but it's our... Your suffering is our enjoyment. I'm really enjoying rewatching this stuff. I am like...
Yeah.
Oh, that's ironic. The episode's called LOL, and I was about... I'm LOLing. It's...
Yes.
Yeah.
And there was...
tackiness.
And I was LOLing this evening, too, watching the... You're not really a basketball guy, but watching the Clippers just choke away game seven, they lost three games in a row to lose the series to the Denver Nuggets. I was literally LOLing like all evening while I was watching that game. I was just laughing out loud. Like it was amazing. So,
I would be a basketball person if the Clippers or Nuggets took Jeremy Lin.
Yeah. I don't think either one of them. No, Jeremy Lin's never played for either one of those teams, right? He's played for a lot of teams now.
Lakers,
but
Knicks,
yeah.
Rockets.
Yeah,
Raptors.
Warriors. Yeah, no, Warriors. I understand. Hawks. He's played for a bunch of teams now, but yeah, I get it, man. It's all about identity politics for you. So I guess you're not gonna watch the games. You know, there is a Korean kicker in the NFL.
Sick.
What?
Sick.
Yeah.
Good.
So, yeah, he was a kicker for like San Diego last year, and as a standard for Asians, he got cut. So now he's a kicker on the Falcons.
Do you see weed?
Do I what?
Do you see weed?
I'm so confused.
Seaweed.
Oh, do I eat seaweed? No, dude. I mean, look, listen, as soon as I see, like, some kind of weird, like, you know.
I was trying to confuse you, anyway.
Far East symbols, yeah. No, I mean, well, there's a lot of ways I could take that question. But I don't know, dude. Like, you can go ahead and eat that stuff. I'll sit here and eat pizza. Like, whatever.
Joe Sun Kim.
Yeah. Nice.
Anyway.
Enjoy. That is not coincidentally the exact same name as the kicker for the Atlanta Falcons. Exact same name. Right?
What was that? A joke?
I mean, I don't know. There's only about four or five like names in Korean, right? So it can't be that far off.
Last names.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into the episode.
All right.
We're almost halfway through the series. So Hank's back at church, so we know it's a dream. And this time, the Jesus piece is black, a.k.a. Jay-Z.
And, right, well, that's a more accurate representation of Jesus. The fact that seems weird to everyone, right, that's the really messed up thing. Because white Jesus from the first episode, that ain't the real Jesus, man. That's the whitewashed Jesus. That's the oppressor's Jesus. So this Jesus right here, he looked kind of authentic.
Jesus, the notorious. So
right.
Bill is playing the organ. And now this is obviously a parody of the opening scene of Californication. Hank asks if Bill is gay, and then Bill eyes Hank's piece and is like, "You want me to, you know, take care of that?" And Hank's like, "Do you want me to want you to take care of that?"
Yeah.
And Hank is really there to ask a question. He likes this girl, Meredith, but she's not Karen.
Yeah. And
you know, Bill's just like, Bill the, you know, pastor's like dunzo, and because Karen dressed up as a nun comes in, she and Bill, you know, make out in front of Hank, and
absolute nightmare for Hank, right? You know, can't stand to see it. This is the kind of scene, you know, we were talking yesterday, or you know, the last podcast, about scenes that wouldn't be okay for 2020. This scene's not gonna fly, right? There's a lot of homoerotic energy going on in the scene, not the good kind of homoerotic energy, right? Just really weird, awkward homoerotic energy. What we have is the more appropriate kind of homoerotic energy, and
the energy where I'm like, she's hot, go talk to her, or
yeah,
like...
but then I really just stay and talk to you, like that's, you know. That's the good kind of energy. Yeah.
Like super bad. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, you know, my actual life. So the but I, here's the
I
thing.
could
It's a
set you up. I could set you up. Like we if like there's somebody you like, I could like, cover the grenade, or I could be like, "Oh, Mike's like the older brother I never had. I'd be nothing without him. I was a losing player, then he helped me
Yeah.
be a break-even player, and then I, got a prop job, so now I'm making, a little minimum wage."
Okay, so are you when you set me up, are you gonna give that exact are you gonna like give that exact description? Are you gonna tell her like this is what your future could look like?
Yeah, I mean,
Oh, and does that work?
I've worked on
Because
Rexy, worked on
here's because
Sean.
as far as I understand, Wayne, and I apologize because I'm sure she's watching this podcast right now, but you've been promising me Esther Pavitsky for years, and now it's my understanding that she is scheduled to get married to somebody else. And like, you know, can we LOL here? Like, it's like a writer. Like, I mean,
I promised you
yeah.
Esther by when she's in LA, because I'm a big Esther Pavitsky fan. I'm like, if she's in LA, let's go watch her show.
Yeah.
And you're like, nah, I have to like work or
Well, I was trying to
you're
play hard to get.
well, you succeeded.
Yeah.
And now she's at
Well,
the alt gonna be at the
I
altar with
mean,
somebody else.
in all honesty, let's be honest. Esther was a bit out of my range anyways, but you know, she'll get older, the skin will start dripping off of her face, and then I'll have a better chance. So maybe in a few years, right, she'll get divorced from the writer that she's, you know, marrying for access or whatever, and then I'll be able to scoop it up, right? So, but yeah, I mean, I definitely hold you responsible for this. It's just another level of bitterness that I've reached. So.
Or you guys could just like, after she divorces, meet and she's like, okay, I like some of this, and then you're like, okay,
Yeah.
I really like some of this, and then,
Oh.
hit it off.
Oh, you're
No?
getting. No, that's. We'll see. I mean, I was just thinking maybe I should go sit on her porch step and just wait. You know, just sit all night and just see what happens. See what happens tomorrow morning. Like, do you mind if I just take off right now? Can we record this podcast while I'm like driving over to her house?
Sure.
And then we'll just keep recording. We'll see what happens when
I
the
like
test
had a
results.
whole plan. Like if when we went to a comedy bit, I would be like the one, Esther, I'm such a big fan. I dragged my buddy here because I would get in so much trouble, like that I would need a restraining order, and this guy was here to keep me in check, and then he could be like, this is all true and.
I see the wisdom, Wayne. Listen, I appreciate you're really such a nice guy. I'm amazed. You're so willing to play the heel. You're willing to I mean, here's the thing. I don't always know that you're doing it on purpose, but you're certainly willing to embarrass yourself in pretty much any situation. So I give you a lot of props for that. But you really are, you know, one thing about you is and here's the thing. I say some things about you on this podcast that aren't really true, and so I want people to understand. I'm giving you real, actual propers here. Like, you are really a genuinely good dude, and you look out for your friends. You know, on the level
No
that we're,
English, no
what?
English, no English.
Yeah.
I don't know
Yeah.
what you're talking about.
No. Okay. So, you know, it's because you don't have any brothers and sisters, right?
That's
Because, you know,
probably
you're,
why.
yeah, because you're just like desperate to make that connection with other people. So
It's, yeah.
I appreciate that, but you basically treat people, you know, like genetically. You know, evolutionarily, we are supposed to want our brothers and sisters to, you know, reproduce as, you know, with the best possible mate that they can because they share half of our genetics, right? And supposedly the entire world, at least if you buy into evolutionary psychology, which is a bit suspicious, there's a lot of stuff going on there. But yeah, like it's the whole thing is just a conspiracy of genes, right? We only exist as a conspiracy of genes to try to get themselves passed on. So, you know, thankfully, you know, my brother is really good looking and aggressive, right? And my sister was good looking, which means she's a girl. She didn't really have to be aggressive. And so they both have lots of
She
options.
had to be
So,
defensive. She had to
yeah, what?
screen.
Oh, she has to play deep. I mean, listen, she's also getting a little bit older, but like back in the day, she had to play a lot of defense, although that's, you know, pretty much every girl down the line. So, but yeah, she had to play a lot of defense.
All right,
I'm still
so
trying.
we gotta.
I'm a defensive expert. Hopefully someday I get to play some defense.
Well, you have no problem with the offense.
Oh no, I got a lot of problem with the
Offensive.
offense. Just getting in gear. Oh yeah.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Too
Yeah,
many double entendres.
you got me.
So,
So yeah, getting through this weird. I mean, it's such a the thing is, I thought Bill did the actor. He did a great job, but the scene is just super
yeah.
weird.
Yeah,
You know,
I agree.
he was great in this scene, but I was just, it was just a cringeworthy scene. Is it possible to be like, to do like a really good job in a scene that shouldn't exist? Sure. I mean, he did, but it was, ugh.
So Hank wakes up with Meredith with him, and she's just all over Hank. This is just like, whew. Hope she got paid well. Then
Oh.
Meredith says, "No, I just mean, just I don't know. I mean, it's
You
David
mean as an
Duchovny,
actress?
yeah, as an
Like
actress.
having to lick his nipple was a bit much?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's one thing if you have to, like Leonardo DiCaprio or Brad Pitt's nipples. One thing, David Duchovny. That's like."
Yeah. By the way, I'm doing the last episode of the season with my shirt off in honor of Californication. Just warning you ahead of time.
Sounds good.
So,
No home.
yeah, that'll probably really increase the popularity of the blog, I would think.
Oh yeah, Esther.
I mean,
Esther, subscribe and we'll
oh, she's
yeah,
watching. I
for
guarantee you
sure.
she's watching right now. Yeah. And by the way, put it, Esther, next time you write a show, Wayne and I are both available. You know, there's we're both willing to be on the show. There's nothing we wouldn't do. Just putting it out there. You know, hey, I'm Esther, I know Skokie, you know, I know where you're from, girl. You know, I come from the same suburbs. You know, I know Skokie is like, you know, part of Chicago, but not really part of Chicago. You know, it's like one of the north suburbs that the, you know, the CTA bus actually gets to, right? But I mean, you know, we, I know where you're from, girl.
And here's an interjection. Sean Snyder, I'm really mad at you. Now it's your girlfriend. I'd have no one to play Dungeons and Dragons with. You're like the older brother I never had to. I was a losing player, and then you just got me back to break even. So Sean's girlfriend, he's a catch. And yeah, what? Why are you like looking all confused?
Sean has a girlfriend?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just I'm doing my
No, I
confession,
mean
Tom.
it's not surprising. Sean's awesome, but it what is a little bit surprising is that there's no like live poker going on anywhere right now. And as far as I
There is.
understood, Sean
Ocean's
pulls all his
11.
girl. What?
Ocean's 11.
Oh, well, that explains why he has a girlfriend, because he pulls all his girls from the poker table.
Whoa,
So,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Anyway, going on with the episode. So Meredith says, LOL, the term. Hank loses his boner, and then Meredith is like, "You're gonna let me say LOL get in the way of you getting the best BJ of your life," which is a bold statement because I think Hank's gotten a lot of, BJs
yeah,
according to this.
that would be a really good one, unless he's like been running like super bad, you know, like running in. Yeah, I actually, I'm gonna not make that joke. So, yeah, this, and also it just goes to show, because like, what does Hank do? He ends up, you know, he ends up giving in, right?
Well, yeah, Hank says he's not a fan of BJ's, but
Yeah.
gives in. Well, what's
Yeah.
Bill's last name? Because Hank said he's not a fan of BJ's, so it's like Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't really, I don't know what his last name is, right? He's got a lot of problem with language when you condense things down to just a few letters. But I just want to point out that this goes to show that no matter what kind of principle a man stands for, he will give it up if offered a blowjob. So there is really nothing that any man will stand on when, you know, sex is on offer. So all the principles, everything, every moral, every ethic that he has goes out the window. Even, you know, even Hank Moody, who, you know, is a he's a pretty principled guy, actually. He's got all these like moral rules and things like that. So
I wouldn't know, 50-year-old virgin. Runkle leaves Marcy so unsatisfied in the next scene and
yeah, poor
claims.
Marcy. Off Heart's breaking for Marcy right here. She's trying so hard, you know.
Claims he doesn't want any, normal, no anal, whatever. And Marcy is
Yeah.
like, "What the heck is going on?" Runkle's
Yeah.
like, "It's work stuff, I promise." And I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah. And Marcy's like, "I know, I know. Hey, this is one of the best ones." She's like, "Pretend to paralyze," and just like
Yeah,
falls
so
over. It's awesome.
that was scene number two of the big three scenes, or three things that happen in this that just can't happen anymore. Like that was incredible that she when she said that. I have no doubt that there are couples out there that play those games, and I'm all about the games. You guys can do whatever you want, but whew. Man, I
Insane with the
mean,
games.
yeah, you're definitely targeting karma with that one. You know, someday I think you're gonna end up paralyzed if you play that game.
That is just like, it's,
Oh, yeah, also pretend I'm paralyzed, right? That doesn't improve the quality of sex. I'm just saying.
I just thought it was like for her to willing to say those things, shout out to Tom Cavina for his creativity and just like obviously not okay to say that stuff in 2020, but this is why we can, go back in time. It's like,
Right. Well, why'd she have to say like pretend I'm paralyzed? Why couldn't she say like pretend I'm a donkey? Right?
Oh, I can't even say that in 2020. You're getting canceled. We're getting canceled.
Is there
It's
why? Are
animalist. It's
donkeys
animalist.
listening to the show? Oh, they are, aren't they? You said
Yeah,
Sean
we're
Snyder's
listening.
listening?
Yeah,
Sean,
exactly. Sean's not
oh man,
listening.
okay. All
Doggies are
right.
listening.
Yeah.
And
Two
Democrats, too.
shots at Sean. I feel like there's gonna be some kind of I feel like there's gonna be payback
Retaliation.
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Marcy and Runkle kind of get on, and Marcy puts her finger in uncharted territory, and Runkle's like, "Whoa! Whoa, whoa."
Yeah. What a
And.
baby. I mean, this is a guy who's at work starting to play some like Dom's Up games, and he's all bent out of shape about a finger in his bum. Give me a break, dude. Like, how old are you, man? Like, come on. What do you, no. I'm not buying it.
And then Runkle blows a kiss to Marcy. Wow, that's like.
That's
I
like,
don't.
bye. I wasn't really interested, but I'm gonna go get mine at work.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's. That was a tough one to see. But that wasn't even like the toughest moment to see in this entire episode. Next scene, Hank is on his computer, knocking on the door. It's the BI to the L to the L.
Yeah.
And Bill's like, I want to talk to you about Mia. And Hank's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, you're aware she's in high school, right? And then Hank's like confused, like, no. Like trying to be like, it wasn't Mia, it was like some, I don't know.
Well, yeah, Hank is totally screwed. By the way, Hank used like basically the British N-word when Bill came to the door. He said, Bill came to the door and Hank was like, "What's up, my?" Just
Oh.
leave it off. So probably item number three of things. We've now, how many minutes are into the episode? Are we like 3 minutes into the
Yeah,
episode?
like three
So,
or five.
yeah, this the entire beginning of this episode would be completely rewritten. Yeah, this scene is wow, this scene is really uncomfortable, and it's tough actually not to think that that's what Bill is talking about. Although one might imagine that he's even angrier than, but maybe he's had time to cool down on the way to Hank's house or whatever. But yeah, Hank is basically confessing, and somehow Bill didn't figure it out, right? And Bill just kind of let that go.
There's just no way that he could figure it out based on the context, because he's like, "Oh, Mia's my angel." Like,
Yeah.
he's never, yeah.
That's true. He had too much cog. It would require too much cognitive dissonance for him, right? It's like when you don't think a player is capable of certain things, right? Then you don't put a you think that certain hands can't possibly be in their range there, and they're able to outplay you as a result, even sometimes accidentally. So yeah, that was a really awkward scene, though. I mean, Hank is just straight up confessing, right?
Bill's
Which, of
like,
course,
yeah, go
well, as anybody knows, you never confess. I mean, you say, no, I didn't. I don't know what she's talking about. That's a lie. I mean, there's no good can come from confessing. Confessing is the right thing to do, and providing a good explanation is the right thing to do, but it's not the smart thing to do.
Bill's like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" And Bill's like, "Bill's like, Hank, are you under the influence of like alcohol, drugs, blah, blah, blah?" And it's like,
Reasonable question. Reasonable question,
sure.
because Hank's responses make no sense given Bill's understanding of the situation.
And Bill asks Hank, "Can I ask you a favor?" And Hank's like, "Oh, sure."
Well,
And
actually,
Bill.
he's not like, huh, sure. This is I love how quickly Hank just like flipped the switch in himself, and he was like feeling super bad, right? And you could imagine if Bill knew what Hank feared that he knew, right, that Hank would be, willing to do anything to get out of it. But then Hank, once as soon as Hank realizes Bill doesn't really know that, he goes back to like, well, what's in it for me, right? Like, I'm not gonna do it's like, dude, like, you slept with this guy's daughter, and you're like a complete dick to this guy. And about 10 seconds ago, you're willing to confess the world and probably do anything to get out of the situation, and now immediately the switch is flipped, man. Respect, I guess.
Bill's supposed to be a guest speaker at me in Mia's class, and Bill was going to speak about publishing and stuff like that. And Bill's like, Hank, or sorry, Bill's going to be out of town for some meeting, which is obviously just a story thing. And then he's like, Hank, can you take my place? And
Yeah.
then Hank's like, oh yeah, what's in it for me?
Right.
And then
And he doesn't want to do it. right?
Yeah, he doesn't want to do
So,
it. And Bill's like, I'll do whatever. What are you looking for? And then Hank's like, call off the wedding. And
yeah,
Bill's like,
that's
no.
ha.
No. Then Hank's like, that jacket's nice.
Yeah, call off the wedding.
Yeah.
No, all right, I'll settle for that, overpriced, expensive, jacket. So, yeah.
And then, so Hank gets a jacket. He's at this
Right.
all-girls school, and this is just like one of the most hilarious scenes in the show, in my opinion. And, it's definitely no problem for him. He's just looking around, just like, whoa.
Yeah.
And,
Well, he tells everybody don't be a, do anything but be a writer, right? Which is, of course, the actual writers are writing this, which is somewhat humorous and meta. But he says, do anything else. But yeah, this is there's a bunch of students who aren't super mature and aren't able to, moderate their desires or kind of like turn their facial emotions off yet. So we end up with this high school classroom. Yeah, go ahead. Tell us about the creepo.
So Fang says writing's like having homework every day, and I think writing gets better like when you start getting the mega bucks. But whatever. When
But
asking
that's
for
so, this is really unusual. It's really unlikely that you're going to get the mega bucks if you start off
sure,
as a writer. Yeah. Not you, for you, it's very likely eventually,
we'll
right? But
hopefully.
most people, yeah, most people know.
Then Hank asks any questions for any questions. And this Asian lady is just like, are you single? Hank is like, yeah. And then he was like, who would have me? And then all the women in the classroom are like, me, I would. Which is just hilarious.
All right, so I was asking you the other day how many Asians there were have been on. So here's another one, and thankfully, since she's probably Mia's age, Hank doesn't sleep with her.
And the bell rings, and the teacher's like, dude, you're a rock star. And it is. Obviously, this teacher's obviously looking at inappropriate things. And then, he's trying to strike up a conversation, which I thought was like, what, like, this is a strange relationship. Then.
Well, this was very much a Jared Fogle conversation, right? I don't know. This is a guy. I gotta stop bringing up Jared Fogle, but like what got him in trouble was he was making he like. I mean, Jared Fogle attracted to girls who are like teenagers and preteens, basically, right? He's a disturbed dude, and he was at like a middle school like track event, and he was like making comments about some of the girls to like one of the other teachers at the event, and the other
Oh.
teacher actually like told the FBI
Was
and they
this a
started
parody?
investigating. And that's what
Is
I
this
don't
scene
think it's
like
a
a
parody,
parody
but
though?
I don't think so. I don't think it's supposed to be at all. And in fact, I think the Fogel stuff happened afterwards.
Oh.
I think the Fogel stuff happened later than this by
Art
not like
mimicking reality?
what? Yeah, I
Art.
don't know, man. But it's like you can't like this guy, this creepy teacher, man. Like j this is something that, as a guy and as a white person, things like this have happened to me a lot of times in my life. Where other, and you can certainly appreciate that from the standpoint of a guy, where other guys or other in other white people will come up and they will say something like super sexist or super racist or maybe just a little bit sexist or racist, and they like assume that I'm in on the game. They like assume that I'm like with them. It's like, yeah, of course, why wouldn't I possibly think the same way? And like sometimes it's a really awkward situation for me because it's like it's an uncomfortable social spot and you kind of really just want to like walk away. But like other times you have to like just straighten these people out and be like, dude, you're a dick. Like, I mean, it's because they, but the thing is, they think it's like really safe. And that's the thing with this teacher. Like, he just sees Hank Moody and he's like, this is a cool guy. He knows how it is, right? He knows how it is. We just go after these high school girls. Like, that's what we do. Like, he doesn't even have any questions about it because it's so who he is. And he just thinks, for the teacher, that's who he is. He thinks that's how all the other guys are. He doesn't think he's going to get any pushback whatsoever from this. And, that's not, I mean, really, what should happen is he should be reported because, I mean, this is. What this guy's doing is out there.
His
So,
report card should be
have you
F
seen
for
Always
this.
There? Have you ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
No, I've been recommended to it.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's recommended it to you. But this creepy character plays a character on Always Sunny that I'm pretty sure he got that role because of his role on this show, because he plays like a really creepy dude. I guess, a creepy dude who's like drugged out all the time, which, I mean, I guess he's typecast. Maybe that's his real life. Maybe I think David Duchovny's playing himself. Maybe this guy's playing himself, you know?
At least he's employed. Whoa! Okay.
Hey, man, low blow. You know, that's the third attack on Sean Snyder in the same episode.
Oh, whoa. So the kicker is like, the teacher's like, I wrote three novels, so now we know, you know, where he's coming from. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm cool, you know. I'm one of the cool kids, too.
Yeah, he's true. Well, and Hank's just like, dude, you're a loser, right? I mean, that's what all the writers who make it, that's what everybody makes it. I always think about the people who don't make it, right? They're just like completely dismissive, like, I'm better than you, you're a joke. This guy's three novels might be amazing. You know, most likely there's some kind of like creepy American high school teacher Lolita, you know, but like, who knows, right? He's got three novels in his drawer. He's too afraid to share it, right? Just like, you know, you had to coax me out of my, I was gonna say closet, but that doesn't really work. But yeah, you had to coax me out of the closet to get me to do this show, right? Cause I'm afraid to put it out there, you know, and I'm afraid to, you know, have other people see, you know, who I really am, because, you know, who I really am is a real shame.
Does the audience know who you've had porns with? Like, I wouldn't call that shameful at all. My bad. Just kidding. He's never been in videos.
No, yeah, you guys don't go. Please don't Google me. Just don't do it. All right. And, yeah. And also, just to be fair, the name that's on those videos is not my actual name. You might find it by accident if you're into some really messed up stuff, but you will not find it by Googling my name. Google image search will give you a better chance, but quite frankly, most of the time I was, you know, in some kind of costume, so it's unlikely.
If there are pandas or condors in the video, it's definitely him.
Yeah, and I'm sure you can find that. It is. So here's the thing. There is a chance it's me. And if you would, like 20 years ago, it definitely would have been me. But now there's just so much of that stuff out there.
Right, right.
Yeah. So it's messed up, man. Furries forever.
So the instructor is like, yeah, I don't want to sell out. I don't want to write screenplays. I don't want to fight the good fight. You know, it's like behavior when we're a house player, like when they're not house players, they want to be house players, so they're like,
yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah, for sure. They're just like super jealous of us, you know. They're just trying to get in with us, and we can relate to this for sure. I think, you know, if there's one character that you and I can relate to in the show, Wayne, it's Hank Moody for sure. And you know, we understand,
maybe you, because you get all these anyway. Then the teacher's like, Mia's written some good stuff, you know, and critiques Hank's piece that Mia stole, which is pretty funny.
He was like, I have no idea if it's good, you know? Like, he actually did admit, he was like, it's good, and then he was like, I have no idea, I grade on a scale, she gives me wood. Like, who says that? Like, what the hell, man? And maybe he doesn't know what Mia's, like, relation to Hank is. Maybe he doesn't know that, like, Mia is the daughter of, you know, Hank's baby mama's, you know, fiance. I don't know, but
that's what you were gonna go with when you said the relation.
I knew he didn't know about the other relation, right? Mm-hmm. I assumed he didn't know. Maybe he could see it in her eyes, I don't know. But yeah, what a creep, man. I don't think this dude would have been able to pull any high school students, although they are, you know, somewhat impressionable. So maybe if he's doing like amazing things like Dead Poets Society in class, he can make it work.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Yeah, like, I'm sure Robin Williams was getting some of those guys, some of those boys in Dead Poets Society.
Hank escapes through the window in the next scene, and then Mia intercepts him, says, watch out for your teacher. And then she's like, does he have carnal knowledge? And he's like, yeah. And Mia has a field day with all this, and it's like,
she said, not yet.
Yeah.
Then she said, but then she's like, Hank said something like it was unintentional when we hooked up or whatever, right? He said it was an accident, and she said, oh yeah, it was an accident, right? And then you remember in episode one where I was like all confused when she said she got off of him and she said like whoopsie, right? She said it again here. She said, oh yeah, it was an accident. You know, I was just you were just walking down Abbot Kinney and there I was and your dick fell in me, oopsie, right? And so now I kind of have a better sense of what oopsie means in Mia's lexicon, right? Like when she gets off of him, I think she's telling him with that oopsie, like, you done messed up, like oopsie, right? So I don't know, but yeah, Yeah, this was so that was illuminating. I appreciated that. Hank Moody, as I live and breathe, are you looking out for me?
Why? Yeah, nice.
And
Go ahead.
I swear that somewhere else in the series down the line, somebody says Hank Moody as I live and breathe, and I don't remember the exact circumstances, but I'm gonna be on the lookout for it. Because I think it might be like it's definitely not Mia, but I think it might be like a flashback or some kind of something that's making a point of some kind. But she's clearly trying to make Hank jealous by using the affections of this teacher. It's a total loser's play here. Mia doesn't really know what she's doing, but I do think she is. I mean, she just really likes Hank a lot.
And she's like, well, since I can't get you back, maybe him. And then,
Yeah, I mean, pretty weak stuff. You know, that's not gonna move Hank. I mean, come on, that's a joke.
Then, tells me to get out of the car. Hank drives off. And then we're at Becca. Becca asks Karen how she looks. Got stylish clothes on.
Yeah, she's rocking some style with the hair for sure.
Karen's like, of course, gonna say fabulous. Mia's there too, and Becca's music teacher waltzes in, and he's like, I don't know if I ever have a daughter. I'm like, dude, I do not want this guy here, my daughter at all.
No way, dude. He was a super nice guy. I
He's just
mean,
okay. He
yeah, tell
is,
me.
but
Talk talk to talk, talk talk to me, Hank Moody. Tell me why you wouldn't want your daughter dating this guy.
he's like the type of guy that the daughter's gonna fall in love with, and then like whatever happens, the daughter's gonna side with that guy over the parents. Like the parents are gonna be like, oh, you should go to school, you should do this, you should learn that. And then she's like, nah, cool guy says,
So wait, you think he's gonna like end up like taking Becca into like a band and having her drop out of school or like doing like, you know, like binging meth or something like that?
I think just the parents will lose authority, like they'll lose influence.
Isn't that just part of the game of kids getting older?
I guess so, but I feel like he's like the nightmare scenario for
I
the
mean, I
parents.
don't. Here's the thing. For me, the nightmare scenario is the high school teacher. Like
You're right.
that's the nightmare scenario, right? Like that's not cool. I don't know, man. This guy, he seemed like a pretty good guy to me. Although he made the world's most obvious pass at Karen. So, but we'll get
Yeah, he
we'll
just
get.
makes he makes passes at everyone. He made passes at me. I
He didn't make any passes at Becca. He did not, right?
don't know. Ooh, yeah.
So, well, listen, no, but Becca, that would be age inappropriate.
Right.
So, you know, he's
And me
unlike
as
the
is.
creepy
No, I'm
high
just
school
kidding.
teacher. What?
And me as is. I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
Close, probably
well,
close. It's better.
yeah, I assume they were closer. I assume they were closer in age. Didn't seem super problematic. But then again, Mia seems. There were, you know, there. It was interesting. There were some scenes, like maybe because of how she was dressed in the school, where I was getting like a really young feeling, like much more so than in the part where she's in the bookstore at the beginning. And maybe it's just because I know how old Mia is supposed to be now. But I thought she looked a lot younger at certain points in this thing. So, but yeah, so you can go ahead and go through the scene. He comes in, he's wearing a Fuck Sting shirt, right? Dave, the
Karen's
guitar
like,
teacher.
no. And she's like,
Right.
oh, he's like, I'll get a new one. And he's like,
But how was hasn't Becca used the word fuck already? Has did she like Hank has definitely used it. Like they've been paying each other back and forth for swearing, right? Didn't she say like "fuck off, Dad" or something like that? I forget. Maybe she didn't say it exactly
part of
that
it's like
way.
frequency, because like, most, if not all of us slip up. And we just like try to not slip up.
I mean, listen, straight up, a fuck Sting shirt is just not that big of a deal for the life that this girl's lived up to this point in that household, like with her dad, the writer. She's read her dad's books. Right, she's read her dad's books. Like, dude, I mean, come on. Like, you know, fuck Sting is like, I mean, first of all, completely appropriate. Like, fuck Sting. Like, Sting is terrible, right? Fuck Sting, fuck Phil Collins, fuck all those, like, British dudes who just, like, straight up suck, right? So, yeah, it's like, appropriate. And I think there should be some rules. Like, if you have, like, a fuck Sting shirt on, that should be fine, right? If you have, like, a fuck the Rolling Stones shirt on, like, no, you should have to burn that shirt. So.
Karen disapproves of the shirt, and he's like, oh, maybe I have something in the car. Mia's like, or you could turn it inside out. Clever. I really like, Mia's
Yeah. Oh, Mia knows. Mia is a she's a bad girl.
And he does, and and Beck and the musician dude go upstairs for the music lesson. Mia says, sure, was better off.
Yeah, I mean Mia's not very subtle, right? She has no subtlety. She's just about it. She's gonna let you know. That works, you know. Like I think maybe guys penalize girls for that a little bit in the respect category, but like if you just want to get some, like that definitely works. So.
So then next scene, Hank is on a talk show and the host is like,
Well,
yo.
the host is Henry Rollins, right?
Oh, I didn't even know.
So like Henry Rollins is he's a I mean he's kind of a Hank Moody-ish figure, but he was like the lead singer of oh gosh. The Iggy Pop is in his band, I think, but Black Flag, right, is the
My
name
bad.
of it
If
or
you're super famous, I.
Yeah, no, and he's like a he's actually on, I think he does have like a real radio show. And things like that.
Sick.
So, yes, and I'm actually I just opened his wiki right now. Here's an interesting fact about his life. And he lives in Venice. Like this honestly might be a show somewhat about him.
It's a
Apparently he,
documentary. I keep telling people
yeah.
this.
So he and his best friend were outside of their shared house in Venice Beach, and somebody came by, robbers came by. They shot his best friend in the face and killed him. And Henry Rollins actually escaped. And the murders remain unsolved to this day.
Let's find him.
Cool.
Yeah,
Yeah,
let's
no,
find him.
that's, I mean, if we could solve that, then that would be obviously a very good thing.
Two buy-ins.
Maybe, yeah, maybe he did it and the story was bogus. Yeah. Two, how
Oh.
many, depends what stakes. Depends what stakes. But yeah, so, and he's also, look, Henry Rollins, he's actually a pretty good dude. He's kind of, he's, I remember for years he's been on the right side of like a lot of issues, like LGBT issues, and he's like he's a pretty good dude. He does actually host a weekly radio show on KCRW, so this is like a real thing that they're pretending like Hank Moody's on. So yeah, Hank's drinking during the show, which is standard.
Hashtag standard.
Yeah, all right, take it away.
Yeah, he's like, host is like, yo, public's waiting for your next book. Like, they're waiting for the next Guns N' Roses album. And then he's like, your blog is killing it.
Yeah.
And yeah. Then he,
Very nice, right? I mean, like
yeah.
give a guy some props, right? Like, dude, your blog is good, right? Your podcast is good. And then Hank can't take a compliment, right? Hank just hates himself and his blog so much he can't even accept it.
Then host asks what's bothering Hank. Hank is like, the world's getting dumber. The internet was supposed to set us free. Nobody writes anymore. They blog and they text with no punctuation. And then host says, "Hank, you're blogging too." Hank says,
Yeah.
"That's hence the self-loathing."
Yeah, exactly, right. I mean, how personally did you take it when Hank called computers four-figure wank machines? Cuz I took that really badly, you know. And what I was really thinking about was maybe it's time for me to step it up to a five-figure wank machine. Like maybe there's just like even better stuff out there right now. I don't really know.
I was thinking, yeah, like that's, a lot of hatred for gamers. We use computers for games too,
Yeah, no. Although you can, I mean, it's possible to multitask, right? And some games are made explicitly so that you can, you know, multitask
Man,
while playing.
who is somebody? Even if I knew where this came from, I probably wouldn't call this person out, but he straight up said, like, press one. It must have been someone live bike chat. They were like, press one or raise your hands if you've ever jerked off during a tournament.
Yeah.
I
So,
don't know
I
what
mean,
this.
probably people said they did, but they were lying. But that is actually in, it's one of the James McManus books, I believe.
Positively
He taught,
frustrated.
maybe, I might have this wrong. I feel like I might be miscrediting this. But in one of the early poker books, there was another one about early Vegas, but I think it was McManus. And he was talking to like some real old school pros, you know, just like grinders who, you know, probably sucked at poker, but they had actually looked at a pre-flop chart, so they were able to like beat the games
You talking
back in the
about us?
day. Well, no, I said beat the games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's sorry. I thought you
No,
said
that's okay. Look,
beat off.
our pre-flop charts are really good, you know. Unfortunately, so is everyone's else, and you and I have you know, pretty poor emotional control, right? We're both prone to just, you know, raging monkey tilt, and that's understandable this day and age, but it's not good for profitability. So, I mean, actually, Wayne just sent me a video. Wayne, you just played a tournament. He sends me a 1 minute video of him just spazzing out in the middle of a hand. He just can't believe, you know, the cards that have fallen. He's just raging. You know, I mean, like, this guy, how long do you have to play poker before you don't rage? Like, emotional control, man.
I guess never, because Phil Hellmuth still does it.
And he still wins somehow, right? So, I forget what we were, there was something I was getting at, and I kind of lost my train of thought.
Self-loathing. Oh, I don't know. Well, we go to the next scene then.
Oh, the James McManus book. Mm-hmm. So some really old school grinder claimed that he was so bored at the poker table that he cut a hole in the lining of his pocket so that with like his non-play, he could play with one hand and he could masturbate with his offhand at the poker table. This just, I mean, if true, it you know, it's something that after I read that, I definitely tried. And honestly, it's just not that good, right? Because the, you know, there's not much to latch onto visually at the poker table, you know? It's pretty dire. I mean, I could still get there, but it's dire. So, yeah.
So
is there any way, can we pause for like, you know, 45 seconds? Is there any way we can do that? Can I turn my video off for 45 seconds and maybe mute my...
Sure.
I don't want to get runkled here. No, all right, let's continue. So yeah, I really loved that speech that Hank gave. Actually, he talked about like, and this is so real for this moment in time, right? Where he talked about the internet was supposed to set us free, and there is so much discussion about this right now among like, you know, among academics and pundits and things like that about how the internet was supposed to be this like huge democratizing force, and instead, it's being used by like the worst people to propagandize us, right? They've basically figured out how to control our minds by, you know, the way that things like Cambridge Analytica and, you know, placing ads on Facebook and like the way that YouTube, we're not gonna get banned from YouTube if I trash them, right? Will we?
Hope
so not. The way that like the YouTube formula works and just kind of starts feeding you and getting you into the cycle where you're reading like, you know, Stefan Molyneux or whatever, and you know, I think has finally been banned, and so there's been like so much discussion on that. It's true, right, that it was it has the potential to be this amazingly free and democratizing thing, but that doesn't mean it's being used as such, and it's kind of falling into the wrong hands and being used for the opposite. And then he talks about like kiddie porn, and it's like, dude, like, you know, the deep web, right, carries like all of this, you know, horrifying stuff, right, and things like that. And it's like, yeah, the internet is really like us. It's complicated, right? It's got a bunch of crap on it, you know, and so like it isn't really maybe being used for good. I mean, think about the stuff. It is true that like our attention is, you know, a lot of our attention goes to a bunch of junk, you know, like all day. So I really enjoyed the speech, actually. I mean, he's kind of a curmudgeon, but you know, maybe it sounds like Norman Mailer or something like that, but he was, you know, it was a good speech.
Yeah, my mind goes to mush with black and red rectangles. Anyway, carrying on. So the music teacher and Becca come downstairs. So Becca forgot her presents, so she runs back upstairs. Karen and music teacher are like, Becca seems like a sweet, or music teacher's like, she seems like a sweet kid. Becca's like,
yeah, he's so charming. He's really very charming.
Oh, I mean, that's just scary to me. I don't know. When somebody's that charming.
Well, yeah, no, I understand that. I mean, he's charming. His eyes are dreamy, right? And he's a guitar player. So, yeah, I mean, he's got it going on for sure.
Seems like everybody recognizes Becca as a sweet kid except you. Oh, okay.
Well, Becca's pretty sweet so far. She's you know, she's doing okay. You know, season one, Becca's okay. She's about to become a hellspawn, though.
And then Karen drops, you know, I was in a band. And then music teacher's like, well, I'd love to hear about it sometimes. Like, whoa.
Yeah, I mean, he's making a pass. Somebody, does he know she's about to get married? Does she know that Bill lives there? Maybe he doesn't know any of that stuff. I don't know. But I guess he doesn't care, you know?
Yeah.
Karen definitely enjoyed it. She gave a nice little smile. She was like, still got it.
Yeah,
you know, there's that kind of like mother-daughter competition that happens, right? And mothers get super bitter when their daughters get old enough that they start getting all the male attention instead of the mothers. So yeah, I understand. She's like, I still got it, I still got the attention. But then, you know, there's there's a third around. It's not just Becca and Karen around.
So Becca comes down, and the music teacher is talking to Mia in a bikini. Ooh.
Yeah, that's gonna win right there. I mean,
Bikini, yeah, bikini
that's
game.
gonna that's a winning play.
Becca's crushed, still gives him the mix CD. Shout out to mix CDs. And music dude, see you
Like,
next week.
come on, like anybody knows what that is. You're so old.
So's the show. So the show started
It was the first mix CD. No one ever heard of them before the show, and now they're super popular right now.
Now, back to Hank, who lectures Marcy at a restaurant not to stick a finger up the mini golf hole. Marcy, Runkle, Hank, and Meredith are seated at the table,
Yeah,
and
that's bad advice though. Can we deal with the never, you know, the stinky pinky situation here?
take it away.
So you do it gingerly, right? I mean, like you don't. Here's the thing: you don't ask, but you do it gingerly. And if you get a negative reaction, you stop. I mean, like that's you don't force somebody to do something they don't want to do. But I mean, like all if you're with somebody who's going to be squeamish about a finger up the ass, find somebody better. I mean, seriously, like it's just not that big of a deal, Like, yeah, I
Pro
mean, it's
tip.
just, yeah, just, it's, you got, and, I mean, it's true, right? I think Hank says you got to be gentle with the brown eye. That's true, right? That's true. You got to be gentle. Obviously, you can't be rough with it, but you got to, I mean, just do it, see what happens. People like that. I like it. Doing it right
Ladies,
now.
Esther, take note. Marcy, Runkle, Hank, and Meredith are seated at the table. Meredith is upset. She got ripped on by public radio. I wasn't even sure how she got ripped on, or was.
Well, because he was making fun of like LOL, right? Because she had said like LOL and BJ earlier, and he was talking about how standards of language have declined, right? Really sounding like William F. Buckley or something like that, And like he was on his high horse about how things are getting worse and standards are going down and things like that. And she was taking it personally, right? Because he had called her out for LOL earlier. I mean, it felt a little bit. I don't think she was wrong here to say that felt a little bit personal. I think Hank mostly expected that there's no way she would be listening to this.
And then he's like, it's public radio. That's the joke. Nobody listens.
Yeah, no, it's like, look, I only made those jokes with the expectation that Sean Snyder would not be watching this episode ever.
I am sending this after it uploads.
Well, I mean, listen, if Sean Snyder watches this episode, right? Like, I mean, I
That's
know of
one
him and
more
I have
view.
like the
One
yeah,
more
I
view
have
for
the
us, yeah.
utmost respect for him, but like he's gonna hate me forever. So, oh well.
I'm gonna bet on the not hate you forever and laugh out loud
Another loss.
years is
I mean,
where
he
it
doesn't
goes.
actually remember this, but like he totally just like destroyed me in a 40-80 game many years ago. Although, while he was a far better player than me, the destruction of me that he did really didn't have much to do with him being a better player than me. We
He
only
was.
we only played against each other once. We only played like two hands against each other, but yeah, he pretty much just cold decked me a couple of times. But he still plays a lot better. He was a lot better then. He's a lot better now. Respect to Sean Snyder.
The double S, anyway.
Listen, honestly, Sean, if you're watching, you are very likely the only listener. So only you, Wayne, and whatever the correct pronoun is here. But you, Wayne, and me know. You, Wayne, and I. Sorry, you, Wayne, and I know what has been said here, and so it shall not get outside of this room.
So Meredith's pissed is like, Hank, you got some flaws too. And Hank's like, I know, at least he's like,
Hank's pretty cool, man. He takes his medicine here with her just going off on his flaws. Respect.
she's like, you love women, but hate yourself. So any woman who desires said person is deemed a fool. It's like, whoa.
I think you, she's probably on point here. I don't really know for sure, but I think she's probably on point.
Meredith says goodbye. Hank's like, oops. And Marcy chases down Meredith to the ladies' room. Now, Hank sneaks in, and Karen catches Hank. He's like, and, I really like this scene where Hank's like, he's like, how's my girl? And then Karen's like, cool. I'm fine. And Hank's like, I meant Becca. Karen's like, ooh, regressed a bit.
That was pretty funny. This is a, I mean, it's an important scene because of what, because of, you know, the thing is, Hank, right? He's going through, like, the season is about Hank learning, right? And Hank becoming like a better Hank, like that's what he's supposed to do. And so he asks, like, was I mean to you? Right, to Karen. And then she tells him, like, you weren't mean, but you can be pretty hard on people, right? And so Hank has to come to this like realization that maybe the stuff that Meredith was saying to him was true, and maybe he was a little bit too hard on Meredith and things like that. And so
In
I
more
think
ways than
this,
one.
what, yeah. Oh,
Oh, wait, wh
yeah.
oh,
Well, I'm
whoops.
sure, listen, one way in which she enjoyed and the other way in which, you know, she did not so much enjoy, right? So she likes it in person, but not on the radio. And yeah, it's, I think it's pretty important that Hank is doing this kind of reflection. I mean, he's been self-reflecting all the time, right? And that's, you know, and then is this where we get the, what happens right after this? Do we,
Well, in this scene, Karen says Hank did a good thing going to Mia's school to speak, you know. And Hank's like, Becca is not going there. Oh, actually, that happens before, and then, you know, it's.
Yeah, sorry, I jumped the gun on a little bit of
Yeah.
the stuff there. I apologize.
It's. And yeah, Karen says, is like, Becca has a crush on the music teacher. Hank is like, is this guy crushworthy? And they chat some more. Hank asks Karen if he could ask her something, and like you said, it's was he mean to Karen? She's like,
Yeah.
no, he can be harsh. And then Karen asks about Meredith, and Hank's like, she's pissed. And
Which,
Karen.
by the way, I do. I think that's pretty accurate, honestly. Like, Hank is not a mean person, but he can be very judgmental on people, and he does, you know, expect people to hold up to some pretty high standards. I mean, if you remember the very first season, right, the very first episode, in the first few minutes, when he goes home and Carr's wife is in his bed, right, and the stuff he says to her, like, you're a cadaver's lay, like, you know, things like that. Like, he's judgmental. You know, I guess that was mean, but she was kind of mean to him in theory too. But yeah, and then
Yeah.
are you done with that scene?
Karen is like, is that Bill's jacket?
Yeah, which is, you know, and then he just, and then Hank kind of walks away, right?
Yeah.
And then you get this little montage where, don't you see, like, you see like a troubled, you see Hank being pensive, and you see like Mia happy with her, with Dave, and Becca looking out the window, right? She's
Yeah.
looking at them, and she's sad. And what's playing is this song by Harvey Danger, which is called Little Round Mirrors. And the lyrics here are perfect, because the lyrics are like, it's like a narcissism song. And it's about like trying to make some kind of connections with life more than you can get by looking at the little round mirrors in your house. It's basically like talking about looking, you know, just like focusing on yourself, right? And this is really for Hank, right? I mean, it's this kind of like, yeah, like Marcy is sad, Becca's sad, Hank is sad, but it's really a song about Hank, right? Because he's the guy who is kind of a narcissist, right? And is kind of, you know, way too, I mean, his relationship with Karen supposedly ended because he's too focused on himself.
And now we are focused on him, so maybe it was worthy.
Well, he's the man. I mean, how can we not? Listen, if you were Hank Moody, you'd be focused on yourself too. You know, like, I can't focus on myself all day, because if I do, it just ends in a puddle of tears. You know, so like, I have to, you know, keep my focus outward, look at other people, and pretend I'm other people, right? And you know, take my mind off myself by just waiting on people's doorsteps and thinking about them the whole time.
So we're back at, I guess, Hank's place. Meredith claims her clothes. Hank's in bed. Meredith gives back Hank's keys and says, husband dude left his wife, so if Meredith like is gonna go with husband. Hank's like, I feel used. And this exchange is so like insincere in from my point of view.
I think it is, although I do think Hank's feeling it a little bit, right? Because he's not the guy, you know. Even she claims that Hank was just waiting for a time to break up with her, which is sometimes true. A lot of times you try and, you know, trick the other person. It's not a good thing to do, by the way, but a lot of times people do this, where they try and wait. They try and just kind of start acting shittier and shittier until the other person breaks up with them, right? It's like,
Yeah.
you know. But
Whoa, too real.
yeah, but you know, she said, like, you know, when she came in, Hank was, she was like, what was this anyways? We drink, we fuck, we watch old movies. It's like, and Hank was like, sounds great to me, right? Like, What is, and that's, and this is the, that's, first of all, it's not even true. Hank has both taken her out to dinner and taken her to some cocktail party that you know he didn't want to go to, right? So he was definitely making an effort. She's wrong about that. Although he did at one point say that he's given her 33 orgasms, which, I mean, I assume means that they had been dating for over 10 years at this point, and that a lot more time has passed than I realize in the show.
Oh, it's Hank Moody. I assumed it was 2 days.
Well, I didn't even think it was true that what she said, and also it doesn't
Right,
sound so bad
fiction,
anyways.
right?
Fucking, drinking, watching old movies, that is like the ideal relationship. I don't see how that's a real big problem. But yeah, she kind of calls him out. I do agree with you that it was pretty insincere. She says, he says you were using me basically, and she says we were using each other. Well, I mean, that's always true, right? I mean, it's always true. People are always using one another. The question is it mutually beneficial or not? All right? And because that's, yeah. And it's true. She's pretty judgmental of Hank here.
And Meredith accuses him of taking the moral high ground. Hank's like, dude, you're this guy you're chasing after is no good. And Meredith's like, dude, coming from the guy who's still in love with his ex, whatever.
Yeah.
And Hank's like, well, at least she's cool. She's like, what are you, fourth grade or
It,
something?
it, and he was like, yeah, pretty much, right, or something like that. But look, the Hank thing, right? Hank calling out Jonathan, and we're always better at seeing this in other people than ourselves, right? But like, Jonathan is a total scumbag. Like that's super obvious to anybody who interacts with him, except for Meredith, because she's attached, right? Like she's got so much of herself invested in him, and it's been like 5 years, and this guy's unavailable, and she's just like in love with him. So, I think, doesn't Hank call him an aggressively mediocre white guy? Yeah, that's pretty much on point.
Yeah, and
Been there. I've been there. Yeah.
Hank also says, or they're like, in another life they would have been a scorching couple, which I do not agree with. I think they're a terrible couple.
It's, I mean, she's not great. So, why do you think they're a terrible couple?
Because it's like they're throwing fire at each other, like playing fire with fire. Like
Yeah.
chemistry, I feel like, is like different stuff going on.
Well, Hank was horrible to her at the beginning, right? I mean, yeah, the
I was
stuff he
talking
said at the
more for
beginning.
about the methods. Like, he's like, you're imperfect because of ABC XYZ. Oh yeah? Well, I know that, but you're imperfect because of 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 10. So it's
Yeah.
like that's there's
I
two
gotta say,
Spider-Man
I
pointing
think
fingers at each other,
I'm gonna hold her more responsible for this than him. Like her bringing him to that
Charity.
banquet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to the charity ball was pretty inappropriate without being straight about why you were doing it, and then she bailed on him and went to, I mean she was just that was wrong. And then, I mean he honestly, yeah, his radio show was kind of crummy too, but he didn't call, the thing about it is he didn't embarrass her in public, right? He didn't say, earlier today I was he talked about LOL, but he didn't say earlier today I was in bed with my girlfriend and she was sucking on my nipple and then she said LOL and I got upset, right? He didn't make it personal. So yeah, it definitely stung for her, but he didn't put out there. And then like she came in there and she was giving him the business and he accurately called her out at that dinner for having some other reason. And it turned out he was right. She was just creating drama. She was creating a fight to cause the breakup so that she could go run off with a married dude, which is a complete disaster waiting to happen. The only question is how much time is she going to waste with him? But yeah, I don't think she is a great partner. I don't think people who treat you like that are good partners. And I think Hank is, honestly, it's weird because he gets so much flack in the show, but he actually is a good partner. He's pretty good to people in general. So I mean, he did help her out at the bank at the charity ball once he found out what was happening. He was like, just be honest. He was like, why don't you just tell me? He's like, I'll give him something to think about, right? He's cool, man. He's like, he it's it this one's on Meredith. There's gonna be other relationships that are on Hank in this show, but this one's on Meredith.
So Hank taunts her when married dude goes back to his wife. She knows where to find him. They share a kiss and a look and then a real kiss and then presumably one last one for the road.
What happened? What happened? He just grabbed her butt, right? And then they went on their merry way.
No, they.
Oh, was it orgasm number 34, 35, and 36 before she
I
went her
was
merry way?
thinking, that's what I was
Oh,
thinking.
nice. Yeah, that's the easiest time, right? The easiest time is when you know you're not gonna ever see the person again. That's the time for me. That's the time
Oh.
they finally orgasm, or they finally fake it for me, which I appreciate either way.
Joking, not joking. The next scene, Hank is with Becca. Becca says she has boy troubles, and Hank has girl troubles, and Becca wants to know when it stops hurting, and this is one of the best lines in the entire series. Hank says, "If you're lucky, never."
Yeah, that's a really good line, and it makes a lot of sense the way that he said it, because if it doesn't stop hurting, I mean, if it does stop hurting, it means you've lost love, right? And
And
you've
you don't
lost that kind of
care.
feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of then he quotes, from memory, the like first stanza of Keats' poem. I don't really know French all that well, but it's like La Belle Dame sans merci. And it's the lady without mercy. Becca knows this poem apparently, because she says, like, Keats, is that the best you can do, Dad? Right? And like, I don't know how does Becca's like 12, how does she know these things? And
Come
earlier,
on.
like Mia had said something about like some writer that she supposedly knew, and I just, like, man, these high school kids are, I don't know, you went to rich people schools, so tell me, was this like, did they know like all kinds of poetry offhand and things like that?
They knew quite a bit. Like,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean,
All
I
right.
went to Gunn High School. Shout out to, for all
Shout out
of.
to rich people in the Bay Area. Wayne's feeling this on the inside right now. He's feeling a little bad.
They try hard and then they put too much pressure on the kids to be an unattainable standard. It
Yeah.
was already bad back then. I think it's way worse today. So if you go to a Gunn High School and you're listening to this, which is just literally damn impossible because you have to watch Californication and then this, you don't have to be this unreal
You're like,
standard.
nobody from Gunn High School is going to do that. Like,
Yeah.
nobody from Gunn High School has time to watch Californication, and certainly not a podcast on it, because they're way too successful and they have way too much shit to do. So none of Wayne's friends are ever going to pick up the show, but hopefully some of my friends out there will pick up the show, because I know a lot of unemployed people just sit around, smoke weed, and watch cartoons all day. So, yeah,
If you
that's
have
what
too
they
much
do.
time, again, subscribe to liveatthebike.com, pretty please.
Yeah, and if any of my friends in prison has internet access in your cell, please, watch it and hit the subscribe button. You can send us stuff from the commissary. Like, I don't know if Venmo, is connected to all that, but we'll take like, packs of cigarettes and stuff. Yeah, I mean, people look cool with cigarettes. Wayne and I, we'll just put some cigarettes in our mouth next time. But for you, just send us anything you want us to put in our mouths, and we'll do it.
Maybe not anything.
Well, Wayne speaks for himself, and I speak for myself.
Like, don't send us Coca-Cola. Like, Coke's bad for you, so
Yeah,
we're
no,
not
we
doing
like
that.
Diet Coke, and
Yeah.
if you do like Danny California and you bring us regular Coke, like, nah, you're fired.
Fired.
Unless you dress up in lingerie. You send us a lingerie pic, I'll drink some. Send me a lingerie pic, I'll drink some Coke. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
Right, guys. Smash that thumbs up, hit subscribe. Sean Snyder, when you listen to this, you owe us a comment down below. Stay
Adios,
tuned.
everyone.
Stay tuned for the next one. Bye.